turn to Psalm 119. While you're turning there, on the table in the back, I thought I'd tell you a few of the things back there. This is the John Bishop story. This has three DVDs inside, and it goes back to my childhood and my wife's childhood and comes up past the days that 1995 when I came down with aseptic meningitis, which I'll tell you about here in just a few minutes. And this one is my story in book form. God is so good, especially when you're hurting. And in book form, I could just sit down and write some of the principles and Bible truths that helped me through my trials. It might can help you. This is a book, Be of Good Cheer. This deals with discouragement and depression. And it's got one chapter by Dr. Shelton Smith's daughter, Davina King. And she tells about a struggle she went through. And it's a real blessing to ladies. But this book can be a blessing and encouragement to somebody that you may know going through hard times themselves. Well, your pastor, I told him I'm going to give some of my testimony this morning. I'll give some of it this morning, and then I'll give some tonight, this afternoon, I mean at 2 o'clock. So I encourage you to come. Don't miss that. This is a commercial for that service. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I've come here to be a blessing you. I want to be blessing you. Now, my speech is a little off, but it's because I'm a little off. And I hope that I can help you in many different ways. But here in Psalm 119, would you please stand with me while I read this scripture? If you're able to stand, if not, that's fine. Verse 124, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant, give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Now verse 126 is sort of the theme of the message this morning. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. I'm asking God to work in a mighty way today. And as I give my testimony, I'm praying he'll use it to work in your heart, work in your life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless now real good. I want everybody leaving here saying, boy, the Lord sure is good. I don't want them leaving here talking about how good I am. Because, Lord, I know I'm nothing. But, Lord, I know you're everything. And you're a blessing in every way. So bless this word as it goes forth in my testimony as I share it. Thank you for all the things you've done for me. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Excuse me. God works in many different ways. One way God works is he works through prayer. He works through prayer. I know there's been a lot of praying go on for this day. You've been prayed for if you're here today. If you're visiting today, you're here because some people not only invited you, but they prayed and asked God to help people come and listen to Word of God. And prayer is powerful thing. I remember one night, I said a prayer to God. Now, there's different kinds of prayers. But I remember one night laying on a couch, and I was laying on that couch, and it was dark at night, and everybody else asleep. And when I couldn't sleep well, and rather than keep my wife awake, I would lay on the couch and sleep. I couldn't read or write after I came down with meningitis. I had brain damage that damaged that area of my brain, memory and motor skills. I didn't know how to read or write. I couldn't even write my name. I couldn't even remember my name to write it. And so I would listen to the Bible on tape. I would listen. I remember that night I listened to a psalm where it said, "The Lord is good." I think it was Psalm 34:8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Oh, God, good. The psalmists say it more than any other writer. And so I remember after hearing that, and at that time I couldn't walk. It took me nearly 2 years to learn to walk normal after my meningitis. And so I prayed and I said, "Lord, I'm going to love you and trust you that you're good and you're right. If I never get better, I gonna believe you good and right. I gonna believe that because your words say it." Now today, I want you to believe God good and God right, not because Brother John say it, or not just because Brother John got a little bit better. I want you to believe it because your Bible say it. Amen. And because the Bible says it, you can believe it. And because the Bible say it, you can believe it even when things are going wrong. Amen. You can still believe it. Yes. And that was a turning point that night. As the tears came off my cheeks, it was a turning point when I said, "God, I'm not going to be mad at you. I'm going to believe you good, believe you right." You know, one time a pastor introduced me this way. He said, "Here's Brother John, and he had a few things happen to him, but he never let it get him down." Well, when I got up, I never correct a pastor, but I asked Pastor, "Could I clarify something he say?" Said yes. I said, "Pastor, truth is, I did let it get me down, but I just didn't let it keep me down." Everybody get down sometime. No matter who we are, we get down sometime. But we don't have to stay there. Look unto the Lord. Pray unto God. He is a prayer answering God. And I had a wonderful thing happen this past year. I had a man by the name of Berlin back in Arkansas. And I have been praying for Berlin on a prayer list for over 20 years that he would get saved. I witnessed to him many times. He nice, friendly me, but I couldn't lead him to the Lord. This past year, he got saved. After 20 years praying, he finally got saved. It was worth it. Don't give up praying. If you know somebody running from God, if you know somebody mad at God, don't quit praying for them. Keep on praying for them. God works through prayer. Then God works through problems. Now, I've had a few of those. When I awakened out of the meningitis, I didn't know my name. I didn't know my wife's name. So she started teaching me. My wife taught me everything I know. Reading, writing, and kissing. Kissing, my favorite subject. And so one day she teaching me, she said, "You're John, I Donna, we married." Now, the way I learned talk was I would watch people's lips move and try to make sound the same way. I said, "Married? Married?" Oh, she said, "I forgot. You don't know that means either." So we'd been married 22 years and I didn't know what it meant. And so she said, "Married means I belong to you and you belong to me." And I look at her and I say, "You my Donna?" And she said, "Yes." And that's what I've called her ever since, is my Donna. Her name Donna, but even on my cell phone, I don't have Donna. I got my Donna on my cell phone. I love her dearly, and she loved me. And another thing that took place was not only the loss of all my memory and having to learn phonics. I'm hooked on phonics. And these different things, I've had to learn so many lessons. I also got to the point where I can't see good enough now to get a license, but I could get my license to ride a scooter. Matter of fact, when I first started riding, you could ride a Honda 80, long as it wasn't bigger than 80cc, you could ride it if you were over 21 without license. So I drove Honda 80 scooter. Boy, howdy, did I have fun driving that. But I wrecked about every month or so. I would wreck. I want to tell you my favorite wreck. Not many people have a favorite wreck, but this is my favorite one. I'm going down the road. I have helmet on, but it's hot. So I had the visor up. Well, there's no windshield on a Honda 80. There's one about 3 inches tall, but you get all the bugs if you know what I mean. So I had sunglasses on to keep bugs out of my eyes, but I yawned. When I yawned, this bug thought he'd go in and see what was in there. And I was coughing and I was trying to swallow. If he wanted to go in the ministry, I was going to swallow and let him in. I was coughing to get him out, and I couldn't do either one. So I head to the side of the road where most of wrecks are, and I didn't see it in time to dodge. There was this big piece of rubber tire some trucker had flown off. You've seen them alongside of roads. And I didn't see it in time to stop. So I thought, oh no, this all I need is a wreck on top of everything else. I hit that piece of rubber and it wedged between my wheel and the wheel well in the front. And it stopped my scooter, but not me. I went flying over handlebars and landed face first on the ground, and I hit hard. I hit so hard it knocked the air out of me, and the bug came out too. Isn't God good? He gave me the Heimlich maneuver, is what he did. So, but I made it through that. My eyesight, suddenly, about 4 or 5 years ago, we were in a meeting, I believe in New Mexico. My eyes kept getting dimmer and dimmer, my sight. And within 2 weeks, I was almost totally blind. On a real sunshiny day, with the sun shining brightly on me, I could see glimmer of light. That's all I could see. I went to the finest eye doctor in the country in Nashville, Tennessee. He said, "I'm sorry, sir, there's nothing we can do for you. Your brain has just switched off your eyesight." And so I was totally blind. I'm not totally blind now. I'm still legally blind. In airports and so forth, I still use a cane because people won't run over me that bad if I have a cane. Otherwise, they push me aside when I can't go fast. I don't have any depth perception. Like, I can tell there's steps there, but I have to be real careful because I can't figure out how tall they are. And but the Lord is helping me, and I'm getting a little more sight back along as I go, and I thank the Lord for that. But I thank the Lord how he's helped me so much, even with the problems that I've had. He's used them and used things in my life to help me become more humble, more usable, and I thank the Lord that. I want to be used of God. I had some men come to see me, and I was bedfast for the first few months, or weeks, not months, but weeks, until I got on my feet and could get going a little bit, even though it wasn't normal. And I was just able to go a little. Some men came to see me that were charismatic. And I didn't know what a charismatic was, but they came and they said, "John, Psalm 37 verse 4 said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." John, if you will delight self in the Lord, he'll give you desire of heart, take away this illness. I look at them and I said, desire my heart is not to get over illness. Desire my heart is be used of God. And God is doing that. I didn't know what a preacher was when I woke up. I asked my Donna one day what a preacher is. She said, a preacher is somebody who tell others what God want them to know. And I said, wow, I couldn't be anything better than that. You reckon he'll let me keep doing it? And he has. Amen. Here I am today, telling you what God wants you to know, that he's a good God, that he's a right God. He's always right in everything he do and everything he allow. You know, if I get to heaven and I find out that God with his hand took that little germ, placed it inside my head, causing meningitis, I'm going to ask him, Lord, which hand did you use? And when he tell me, I'm going to kiss it and say, thank you, Lord. You see, the three greatest gifts God ever gave me was my salvation, my Donna, and meningitis. Because meningitis, I've been able to travel even out of this country to tell others how good God is. And the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, he tells us in the book of Romans. You know, every one of us here today can say God been good to us. Amen. We may not understand all the ways God works. I know I don't. I have cluster migraine headaches. They're very severe. It's like having three or four migraines go off at the same time in your head. On one side, mine is the right side. The onset of a cluster migraine is horrible. You beat your head against the wall or the floor, whatever you can, to try to get the pain to stop or to move or do something. Sometimes I can't take the pain and we have to go to the emergency room. But I've been able to stay out of the emergency room quite a bit here lately. God is helping me, and they found some medicine that helps some. Takes the edge off of it. I've asked God, take away these headaches. I've asked him, take away seizures. He's told me no. I had a minor seizure on the way here in the airport in Atlanta. I fell backwards on the concrete and hit my head, and it was bleeding and knocked me unconscious briefly. They gathered around me and got me up finally. And these are just things that I have to deal with. But I know this, God is good to me and helps me. And I can trust him. I can trust him no matter what. The nickname for cluster migraine headaches is called suicide headaches, because so many people, after years of the suffering, take their lives. Let me tell you something. Taking your life is never answer to anything. Amen. Nothing at all. It leaves more questions than it does anything else. And make people hurt. Why didn't I see? Why couldn't help? What happened here? But we've got to trust the Lord. And he'll be good to us. He will. The God that I know and love is a God that can tell me no anytime he wants to and still be a good God. Amen. Every parent here, you need to give God the same room that you want your children give you, and that is this. You've told children no at times, and they didn't understand why. But you told them no for their good. You had something else that they didn't know or understand. They couldn't understand electricity, but you explained, don't be putting your fork in the receptacle. You didn't explain how these electron atomic parts would fry their little brain. They couldn't understand that. But you said no, and maybe even spanked their hand to let them know you mean no. Now, if you never told your child no, I don't want to meet the little brat. Everybody told child no. God can tell me no anytime he want to tell me and still be good God. A good God, just like you're a good parent for telling child no at times. Now, I was preaching in a ladies' conference. They had both my wife and I speaking. And they just close your Bible right now. And I want to tell you this story. And I want everybody to listen real closely to it. So just close your Bible right now. I'm just about done. And look at me so I can help you see the power of this illustration. The preacher had us up there. On Saturday morning, I spoke to the ladies, was telling them how wonderful my Donna was and how good God been to all of us. And so I did that, and I was supposed to speak right after lunch. But I began getting very ill. I got so sick that I finally had to call the pastor and say, "Pastor, I'm sorry, but I won't be able to be there this afternoon. I'm hurting too bad." He said, "Okay, just take it easy and be ready for tomorrow. I want you to speak on Sunday." And I said, "Okay, I will, if any way can." I laid down on the end of the bed, facing the TV. It was up on the wall. And I had an educational channel on. Just something to get my mind off how I felt. And it was beautiful color, high definition color. And it was about volcanoes in Hawaii. And they showed Hawaii, the beautiful trees and beautiful flowers, beautiful colored birds that they have there. All this beauty. And then they showed volcanoes. And they got a close-up of one that is erupting constantly, spewing out molten lava. And it was running over the side, down the side of the mountain, into the ocean, killing everything in its path. It had killed all the trees and vegetable life and so forth. And it would hit that water and spew. I saw that molten lava as it bubbled, red hot. $2,000 wouldn't get me to go over and stick my finger in that molten lava. I wouldn't do it. I thought to myself when I saw that, the Bible talks about the lake of fire. Those that have been cast into hell will be judged and then cast into the lake of fire. I don't understand all that that means, but I believe it real. I believe it real, lake of fire. And I said, this volcano is exactly like what that's going to be, except even worse. And could you imagine burning and burning and falling and never, ever, ever able to escape? Listen to me, God is good, but I want you to know God is also holy, and he's righteous, and he's just. And my dear friend, he's a God of wrath as well as a God of love. A God of wrath. If you reject his goodness, you'll suffer his wrath. You must not do that. You must not say no to him. He's been so good. He's let you live when maybe you could have died, but he was good enough to let you live. You've got food to eat. I don't have to worry about food this afternoon. There's going to be food. And they furnished the prophet chamber with food. Good food, like Oreo cookies and things like that. Food good for you. But I want you to know today, that good God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. He died and he suffered, and God poured out his wrath upon his son hanging there on that tree. That old rugged cross hanging there on it. The nails in his hands, his feet. The crown of thorns on his head, beaten on with a rod, just like driving 10-penny nails in the side of your head. All of that happened so that he could save you. But he didn't stay dead, thank God. He rose again from that grave. He got up out of the grave. He said, I will get up out of that grave in 3 days. And he did it. He did it. And that's why he can save anybody and everybody that will come to him. He can save them. Not just come to God and say, God, help me. No, it's God, save me. You may have prayed many times in the past, but that doesn't mean you're saved just because you prayed. To be saved, you've got to pray, God, save me. Jesus, save me. And mean it in your heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, today, receive him. Trust him. Then become a part of the church. You know, everybody need a church home. Everybody need a church home. Everybody need three kinds of home. A home to live in, a home in heaven, amen, and a church home. Amen. If you're not a member where you actively participate in church, you need to do that today. If this were God wants you, you come and join today. Ask the pastor, what do I need to do? Because I want to be a part of what God started, and that's the local church. Amen. God started local. Didn't start by man, started God. Amen. Do it today. Some of you need to come today and pray around the altar for someone hurting, maybe mad at God because something tragic happened in their life. Tragic things happen in your life. They can make you bitter. And that's a terrible thing to happen. Don't let it make you bitter today. Turn to the Lord. Let him use that in your life to put wonderful, glorious things in your life. My heart just full of praise for God's glory. And God goodness. I want you to have that too. If you know someone doesn't have that, it's wonderful to see Christians come to an altar and pray for them so that they may one day have that same glory that same desire to glorify God and thank Him for His goodness. Let's pray.